It's the big book. We're in our 11th year. We're at different parts of the book on each night. Tonight we're on the first step. We finished up through More About Alcoholism, which is 43 pages, and the doctor's opinion, so that we, if you're the reader and you're a real alcoholic and you read the book, up to this point, you must understand that you have no defense against alcohol. Powerless. And on Saturdays, we were finishing up. We did the sex inventory on Saturday, and we're in the step four. So we're on page 70 of the big book. And on Wednesday night, we're now on page 44. And on Sunday nights, we're about to finish the big book. We're in the vision for you. So if you're new and you want to learn the directions to recover, join us. We have the site experiencethebigbook.org. We have 240 podcasts on there of the book and 72 thoughts. So if you want to go through the book with me, you can listen to me. If you don't do it. Tonight we are reading from the books, The Steps We Took. This book is one that changed my life. Somebody brought it to a meeting 10 years ago, Mike Nickel. Mike, I'm sorry I said his name. Anyway, it's all AA. He showed me this book, and we bought it. And my wife says I've bought at least 100 of these and given them out through the years, maybe more. We study this with the big book. This is by Joe of the Joe and Charlie Tapes. And as you see, he makes the steps very simple. And when we get to the step in the big book and we finish it, then we look at this. And I was sad because the last book I gave out was to, I met with a guy on a Friday at Hy-Vee, and he was struggling, and he really wanted to do this thing, and we had a nice hour and a half talk, and I gave him the steps we took, and he died 9 days later of his disease. And that's pretty sobering. And so anyway, we are now on finished step one, and we're going to look and see what Joe says about it. We'll probably spend 2 weeks on this, and I'm going to make sure we stop and leave some time for people to share about their first step. Now, he says, what is the problem? We have to know what the problem is to be able to have a solution. Now, we can see symptoms of the problem, but we have to understand what the problem is. I was a doctor. They come in the wheelchair. They lost 80 pounds. They can't move their arm. Okay, but what is the problem? Well, it was a cancer that spread to their brain. Until we knew that, then we couldn't decide how to treat it. So when we come in here with alcoholism, we see the symptoms, but we have to understand our problem. So he says, we can become so caught up in a problem that all we can see to do is to try harder. Now, the problem with that is I'm trying harder. Anybody try harder? Try to get the wrong method to bring the right results by doing it harder. Step one tells us we better stop and name the problem and become willing to admit defeat before we rush in to fix things. The first step has to be done 100%, and we have to understand it and live it and feel it in our heart, because it drives everything. And then here's bad news. The first step has to be worked when you wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that I need help today and ask God for help. So step one says we admitted we were powerless over, and you can use this book for any kind of problem. And we talk about alcohol here, but it could be anything, and that our lives had become unmanageable by me. They need to add that. I'm going to write New York. And what could I not manage? I could not manage to become powerful over alcohol. Anybody understand that? I had no power over alcohol. I couldn't manage that, and I couldn't manage my life. Did anybody come in here and have problems? Anybody have problems when you come in? Well, and they were all caused by me. Now, I didn't know that the first day I came in. But as I work the steps, that's what the steps show. And like Richard says, you see the pattern. We made decisions based on self, which caused us to be harm and harm others. Now, powerless in the big book is 100% powerless. Now, there's some people who are 99% powerless. That won't work. It has to be 100%. I saw this lady, she hasn't been back for a while. She came to a few meetings and she was obviously very struggling, and we talked about this. So she told me at the end of the meeting that she's 95% there. I said, well, dear, the 5% will kill you. If we leave 5% of the cancer in, the cancer is going to kill you. It has to be 100%, 100% powerless. Now, and it also has to be unconditional powerless. There can't be conditions on it. I'm powerless because of her. I'm powerless because of the job or these things. It has to be unconditional. And it's always, I'm always powerless. I cannot ever fix this. I cannot ever manage my life, and I'll never have power over alcohol. So you say, well, why is he doing the meeting? He's a mess. Well, I never have the power on my own, but I have the power to choose to seek the power. And that's, we're going to be reading that in the next chapter, We Agnostics, where we find the power. And we just read in How It Works how we find the power. I only have two choices, God or me, all day long. Am I choosing me to run my life, or am I choosing God? Now, how do you know when you're choosing yourself? You're upset. Doesn't matter. If you're upset at all, you're running your life. Anything bother you, anything disturbing you, you're running the show, 100%. And it's 100% guarantee that if you run the show, you're going to be disturbed. Now, you may have a few good moments during the day or a week or two, but you will get disturbed. It's 100%. And the only thing I have power to do is seek the power which changes how I react to things. When I get bothered by something, I've reacted to it. Richard talked about judgment, resentment. I have to change how I react. Now, what happens to alcoholics is we react a certain way. But once we've worked the steps, we recognize that we're doing that, and we stop right away. And we get connected to God, and God changes the way I react. So we need to pause, like John and I talk about. Whenever anything's happening, pause, get centered with God, and change the way I react. So let's see what he says. We're going to read, it's very good stuff. I mean, I've read this a million times, but I read it today preparing for this, and there's so much powerful truth in this. He says, the truth is that many of the problems we have in life we can't fix. Anybody believe that? Mm-hmm. We are powerless over a whole lot of things. Step one is about being powerless, about not being able to fix everything. It's simple. Sometimes we have to say, I can't fix it. Now remember, on page 45, it says, lack of power is my dilemma. I must have a power to live, and the power will solve my problems, not me. And it says, moral or philosophical convictions galore won't fix this. I just don't have the power within me. Throughout our lives, we find ourselves powerless in certain situations. For example, we are powerless over other people. Anybody believe that? Yeah, well, how many people tried to change someone else? How'd that work? Never gonna work. A lot of us are like the guy who does, and what we learn in AA is that we don't change them, we change our attitude towards them. We change the way we see them when we practice love and tolerance, right? Throughout, so I'm trying to tie the first step with how we work the program and the other steps. A lot of us are like the guy who doesn't realize he's powerless over his coworkers. I had several coworkers that I was powerless over. It took me a while to realize it. He goes to work day after day, year after year, trying to change them. This foolishness may go on for 25 years, or he may lose his job because of it. But he goes there 8 hours a day trying to straighten these people out. Now, if he's going to work trying to straighten them out, you think he has peace and serenity? Do you think he's focusing on being a good employee? Is he focusing on serving God? He's in judgment, he's in anger, he's in resentment, and he doesn't feel good. Now, if alcoholics do that, they drink over it. Anybody drink over resentment? Anybody not drink over resentment? Well, if you said you're an alcoholic and you never drank over resentment, you're in the wrong room. It says if he would admit that he's powerless, the situation might get better. If he admits he's powerless over other people, the situation might get better on its own. And what happens is he might change his attitude. Don't we talk about resentment? What do we do when we get angry? We ask God to give us love, patience, and tolerance for that person, right? How can I be helpful to them? God, save me from being angry at them. Give me a kind and tolerant view. Now, by the time you finish saying all that, you're tired of being angry and you've changed your attitude. Because I'm the only thing I can change is my attitude. I can't change them. It was insanity for me that I tried for 16 years in every way I could to drink normally. Anybody try to drink normally? Anybody have schemes on how to control their drinking? Anybody have a scheme to quit? Did anybody ever make a decision like a day when they were going to quit? It was always like 2 weeks away, right? Ooh. But I'm going to quit on that day. And anybody ever follow through on that? No. Yeah, I had a week put aside. I'd scheduled this week. Oh my, that was a bad week. But that week got me to my bottom. Now, I mean, their bottom is not whether you have a car or a house or how much money you have. Your bottom is when you admit, I can't fix this. I have no power to fix my problem of my drinking in my life. He said, all I had to do was admit that I couldn't do it. What is this insanity? What is this drive within us that makes us want to try to do what we cannot, whether it's drinking or using or controlling others? Now, I've heard somebody say we die on the hyphen. A lot of us admit that we're powerless over alcohol, but we die because we can't see that our lives are unmanageable by us. And I'm not talking about the problems you have from drinking all night and waking up hungover. I'm talking about the problems you have sober. The decisions you make out of fear, your anger, the shame and guilt from your harmful conduct. And the thing that makes us insane, he says, is self. Especially self-will and self-reliance. We're relying on me to run the world. And that's insane. I didn't realize, you know, why is that insane for me to try to run the world? Why was it insane? Anybody here try to run the world? Why was it insane? Because we're not God. I don't have the power to run the world. It took me a while to figure that out. It sounds pretty silly. Think about it. If you're not God, why are you playing God? Then the other thing, when you play God and you're in self, you have a script for the world. Anybody have a script for the world? But they don't have the script. So they don't follow your script. So you're always upset. Any script writers out there? And listen, you could be sober 35 years like Richard and still be writing the script today. That's what we have to treat. We have to treat our self-centeredness, and I can't fix that. Only God can. But he will if we let him. It doesn't matter what race or even what gender we are. We humans are often the victims of macho thinking that is self-reliance. Isn't that our society? You see it on the news. I won't mention his name. But you see it all day long, self-reliance. And my whole problem, and still is my problem, is when I rely on self. Now, what's the problem with relying on self? Then I'm blocked from God. Now, we read tonight, there's one who has all power, that one is God. Does anybody believe that? Everybody believe that? Yeah. So if God has all power, and I want his power in my life, if I'm relying on me, then I'm choosing me over God. So A is very simple. We need to change our choices each day. And we have to seek God in everything we do. And he says, Jesus has been teaching the principle, the first step, when he said, deny thyself. And he meant give up on yourself as the answer, give up on self-reliance. Didn't we say God can and will if we seek him? Suddenly we realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, right? And what is the result of the steps? Anybody know? A spiritual awakening. What does that mean? It means I'm awakened to the Spirit, which is God, and I have God's power in my life when I seek him and I turn to him. Anybody have that? It's great, isn't it? You can't describe it to a new person. And we can't describe the result. We just say, do the steps, and then you tell us how it happened to you. He's talking now about his wife and her green stamps. I think I remember green stamps because I'm old.
I remember.
Do you remember? We had food fair. We had green stamps, and we'd put them in the book, and she would brought home. Now here's my alcoholism. I don't know if you can relate to this. Everything she had to put brought home had to be put together. Now these things always came with clear instructions, telling you step by step how to put whatever it was together. And isn't that what the big book's all about? Step by step instructions of how to put your life together. And then people don't read those instructions, right? We say, here they are. Oh no, I don't need the book. I got a plan. Well, yeah, that's not gonna work. They would be ABC instructions so simple, they would insult a person of my intelligence. Now I want to tell you, before I got into the program, I never looked at instructions. And it took me several years, I must admit, that I look for the instructions first now. But also, yeah, and that's being a doctor too.
Yeah.
It's true.
Sorry.
We know everything. Well, you know, people say you have a pool. Doesn't it take a lot of work? I said, no, I'm a doctor. I just throw in some of this and some of that. And, you know, I don't have to measure. And the other thing I do is, I know she won't listen to this, but I have a wife who's wonderful, and I act completely helpless all the time, and she takes care of me. But if she's not there, then I'm screwed. I got to read the instructions. And it never failed that I would throw them in the garbage can and proceed to do it my way. After a while, we'd be mad and frustrated trying to do it my own and without the instructions. And as soon as his wife was looking the other way, he'd dig the instructions out of the eggshells and coffee grounds and lower myself to follow the principles until I got the thing put together. Now, we're all laughing, but really, this is why people die. We have a simple kit of spiritual tools. The steps are very simple. People say, why AA doesn't work? Because people don't work the steps. They don't follow the instructions. Now, remember, the foreword to the first edition says, we have a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. They wrote this in 1939. What follows are clear-cut directions on how they recovered. Now, it's so simple, but people will do anything besides doing that. And so people, sober years, you'll hear them, they finally work the steps. They're sober for a while, but they're still left with their alcoholism. And finally, they seek someone out and they say, well, maybe I'll try working those steps. And Richard described that tonight. When I'm trying to put something together, I may be trying to drive a tapered peg into a hole wrong end first. I keep hammering and hammering, but the thing won't go. I drive and force, and maybe I'll finally look at the peg and say, this peg won't go that way. Then I'll turn it around. You see, he won't turn it around until he realizes it's not going to go in there. But I can't turn it around until I admit that I've been trying to do it the wrong way. Now, this is a very simple way of saying that until we let go of our old ideas and our way, nothing's going to change. And remember, he says we have to let go of our old ideas absolutely, or the result is what? Yeah. Nil. So you're going to see old ideas all the time where you've been putting the peg in the wrong way and you've been seeing things wrong. And then all we have to do is say, I've been doing it wrong. This is wrong thought. And then the more we see we're wrong about, the better we can change our lives with God's help. He's, of course, as long as I persist in taking wrong actions, I'm going to get wrong results. Now I wrote, if I persist in wrong thinking, I'm going to persist in wrong actions. And so the big book is how to change my thinking so that I change my actions. And steps 4 through 9 is looking at my thinking and my behavior and changing it with God's help. 6 and 7 are steps that are hardly talked about. We spend a lot of time on them here, but steps 6 and 7 is how I change my personality all day long to the personality God gave me. And that's our card. And I'm sorry I don't have cards for the new people of our spiritual checklist, but if anybody has an example, they might give one to our new people. I'll bring them next time I'm here. And so nothing changes, nothing changes. Ed's not here. He says, if I don't change, my sobriety date will. Now here's the problem. I thought I could change myself. And I would go to meetings, and I'm going to listen and hear good stuff, right? You hear that? I heard good stuff today. And I'm going to listen to that good stuff, and I'm going to change my thinking. Well, that doesn't work. We can't change our thinking. We can only see what we're wrong about all the time and let God change our thinking. As soon as I realize that as soon as I let go of my wrong thinking, the right thoughts will come in. Now, what am I talking about? I'm judging somebody. I don't like the way they are. Wrong again, Michael. They're children of God. They are who they are. God, help me see them with love, patience, tolerance, kindness, considerate. And I do that, and I change right away. I have fear. Wrong again, Michael. It doesn't even exist. It's not in the nail. Something about it will happen tomorrow. I say, this is ridiculous. God, I don't want to waste any more time in fear. It's not happening. God, remove my fear, and how should I be right now? Well, be loving, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, and compassion. Do what you need to do. Stay in the now. So it's not very complicated. He says, yeah, I have to admit that I was doing it wrong and turn the peg around before I can accomplish what I want to. Now, AA tells you in the book, it's not written this way, but it says if your life is an effing mess, and you can't stop using and drinking, and everything's falling apart, okay, we have a plan for you. Follow this plan and tell us what happens. It's suggested, and they suggest that you do this plan. Now, you're not going to do this plan in the big book till you're done with your plan. Now, I'm constantly running into new people. I offer to help them, and they still have a plan. I said, well, you might want to change your plan. So AA is for people who want to do the steps, who want to change their plans. We can't make anybody do it. Now, what makes me want to give up on my plan? Pain, suffering. It doesn't work. But people die keeping their own plans. I think the day when I saw that my plans wouldn't work was a day of grace. It was a gift from God. It made me humble at that moment that I couldn't fix this, and I sought God. And since then, my life has changed. Now, I have to admit that every morning. I admit it today. We prayed back there, Eric and I, and we talked about it. And so, as long as your mind tells you the way it goes, you can't do anything else. Somebody can be standing beside you saying, hey, turn that around, but you can't do it differently. Did anybody tell you to stop doing what you were doing?
No.
And change and do something different? And you know what? You put them on your resentment list. They're nagging me. They're driving me crazy. You drink too. Oh my. But we can get so caught up in a problem that all we can see to do is try harder. Try to get the wrong method to bring the right results by doing it harder. And at AA, I wrote, we try less and we let God do it. But I have to let go of all my old ideas all the time. Now, how do I know what my old ideas are? You work the steps. Step 4 is where you look at all your old ideas. And step 10 is where you look at them all day long. And step 11 is where you look back during the day where you had wrong ideas again. And we do this, we persist, because we want to be control and self-reliant. We don't want to admit defeat. It's very simple. Alcoholics don't want to give up on themselves. Remember, we have a personality disorder, and the personality disorder tells us that we can fix it. And our thinking tells us we can fix it. And the thinker is not right. The thinker is wrong, but we listen to it. And at some point, we stop listening to our thinker. And we say, you know, that isn't working for me, thinker. I'm going to try something else. And that's a gift. We humans are not meant to depend on our individual selves. We were meant to rely on each other. And that's where the fellowship comes in. I hope if you're new tonight, you feel like you have a place here you can go. We can help you. We all care and love you. And God didn't intend for us to be self-reliant. We're designed, as our principles spell out, to rely on each other, and we're designed to rely on God. Now, when you come in the beginning, you don't know how to rely on God. You rely on people in the fellowship. And then as you work the steps, your reliance becomes more on God. That's where sponsorship comes in. That's where the power of the fellowship comes in. Can't do it on your own. And if we were meant to rely on ourselves, none of us would have survived the mastodons and the cold and all that stuff. Human, we need each other. We need each other for protection. We need each other. Anybody eat today? Anybody eat at all? Nobody ate? Yeah, we ate because somebody else grew the food and brought it here. My wife made the point, she's always bringing up these really pleasant subjects, that if we had some kind of catastrophe, we would all starve. You know, if the truck stopped running, the food stopped going, we would all starve. And so we're dependent on each other. We're designed as to live on God. We want to be self-propelled, but we can't be. Now, the beginning of hope for an alcoholic is when they understand that they can't rely on themselves to fix this thing. It's a gut-level feeling. It's called hitting bottom. When you can see the truth clearly, that there's no way out that I know of to fix this. And usually, at that point, somebody will say, God help me. I got on my knees. And it's a gift to be able to have that moment of surrender. The problem with it is that God won't keep that moment alive unless you keep doing the work. You start working the steps, you start working with others, and then the surrender becomes a daily permanent surrender. But you have to do the work. Everybody that's ever come to an AA meeting has had some form of surrender, but it has to be complete, unconditional, 100% surrender every day for the rest of your life. Human beings surely aren't capable of operating without energy from God and from each other. In step one, we give up on being self-propelled, self-directed, and self-reliant. Anybody like to read pages 60, 62? It says we have to be convinced that a life run on self-will can never be successful. Is everybody convinced of that? Yeah. Well, if you are, then you're going to be seeking God all the time, you see, and you're going to stop playing God. I'm just going to read another paragraph and then open up. Another part of our insanity is our blindness to reality. I can't see the truth about my situation. I can't see that I'm powerless. I keep trying to fix it. There's a line we read every time in How It Works. Those who cannot and will not do this simple program are those who are what? Constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They cannot see the truth of their situation. They can't see it. And if you can't see it, you're not going to do the program. And then it says on page 25, that when we see the hopelessness and futile condition of our life as we've been living it, there's nothing left for us but then to pick up the spiritual tools. So the people who aren't completely defeated, can't see the real truth, they fight you. They fight doing this. They fight following directions. Here's a great story. Took me a while to understand this. See if you can get it. The story is told of a guy who had two horses. It worried him that he couldn't tell them apart. So finally he cropped one's tail, and he said that worked for a while, but the tail grew back. Then he thought he would mark one's horse's hooves with chalk, and that worked for a while, until the horse walked through some water. Finally, his son got a letter from him saying, "Well, son, I finally figured out how to tell these two horses apart. I've discovered that the white one is 4 inches taller than the black one." Now we're all laughing. But who's the last person to see their situation? It's us. It says when we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis. Before that moment, we couldn't see the truth, but we'd been crushed for a long time. And I'll just end this with the prodigal son, the powerful story, I believe it's in Luke. And the father had two sons. The younger son wanted his money up front before dad died. In those days, this was unheard of. So the father gave him his inheritance. He says he went and he had riotous living. He was an alcoholic. And he ends up, he loses all of his money, and he's in the pig pen, which is not good for Jewish guys, in the pig pen in Egypt. And he'd been in the hog pen, and one day he realized he was in the hog pen. Now, he'd been in the hog pen for quite a while. But one moment he says, you know, I'm in the hog pen. And when I'm the servants at dad's house have it better than me. And he said, I'm going to go to dad's house and I'll ask to be a servant. And this is how it is. We have to see we're in the hog pen. And we have no way getting out there. And we have to go and turn to Dad. Well, Dad is God. Now, God, in the New Testament, it's Jesus. Jesus sees him coming back, and he runs towards him, and he hugs him. The guy has a speech prepared. Dad, forgive me. I just want to be a servant. But, you know, just let me live in the servant's quarters. He hugs him, and he says, let's have a party. And that's what happens to alcoholics. We're lost. We're in the pig pen. And once we finally turn to God, God hugs us. Now, after you're in recovery for a while, what happens is you do that every day. At 10 o'clock, I'm back in the pig pen. Good job, Michael. And I say, well, I don't want to be in the pig pen right now. God, I want to turn to you. And then God's so happy. Sandy Beach, who, God bless him, he's dead now, but I learned so much from him. He has a whole talk on God's plan for your life. And you know what it is? Very simply, God's plan for my life is that whenever I separate from him, I'll turn back to him and he'll hug me and he'll take care of me. Because we separate all the time, but we don't have to stay there. So I hope this was helpful. I went a few minutes too long. Don't tell Ed. And bring your hand out for next week. Was this helpful? It's good stuff.